Good morning.
Thanks for being our guest today. I'd like to talk today about the LCMS Veterans of the Cross and Soldiers of the Cross, two of the programs that you're involved with. Tell us about the LCMS Veterans of the Cross.
Well, it's a wonderful program. It's really been around for many, many years under different names, but essentially the Veterans of the Cross is to assist retired pastors or their widows with some supplement funds to close the gap between, say, whatever the pension plan might be, Social Security, and the actual expense of the retired worker or their widow. So it's really direct and immediate help for our retired workers that sometimes, you know, because they served in small congregations or in some cases not all the congregations participated in the pension plan, when they retired, they saw this gap between what they needed and what they were actually receiving.
What, looking across our church body, is there a great need for support for these pastors? Are there a lot of retired pastors or widows of pastors who have need such a need?
Yeah, even in, let's say, time that I've served, you know, for the last 6-7 years, I've seen the growth of the program, and I think that it's sort of kind of leveled off right now for this year. But I can see on the horizon a growth in the need for this reason. Many of our workers are serving in small congregations that either, well, you know, the program, the pension depends on how much is put into the pension plan. So if a worker gets a small salary and a small portion of that small salary is put in the pension plan, he doesn't receive much of a benefit when he retires. So we're seeing that more and more across the country. Unfortunately, with many of our congregations, small rural congregations and urban congregations are shrinking, and so they're not able to support the worker. And so when he retires, he has a very small pension.
And so he still has needs, and many pastors who retire still serve the church in some capacity, even when they retire. It seems that pastors never really retire, right?
Well, that's true. they find that the small congregations, sometimes even the same congregation that they were serving before, you know, the pastor retires, but then he continues to serve the congregation where he was at. I've seen that in many cases.
And so, Veterans of the Cross does this work to support these retired pastors and widows of pastors. How can listeners support Veterans of the Cross? How can they find out more?
Well, the Office of National Mission, you know, working of course with the Mission Support Department of the Synod. Raises the funds, the needed funds, and the program is administered by the Concordia Plan Services, you know, precisely because, you know, it is sometimes a supplement to the pension. We are on the website, you know, you can go into the LCMS website and find information about Veterans of the Cross. The district presidents also know about Veterans of the Cross. So if a worker is in need of wanting more information about the program, certainly can be available, or they can contact me directly at my email, carlos.hernandez@lcms.org.
Very good. Very good. So Veterans of the Cross supporting our retired pastors and their widows. Now, another initiative, another program that you're involved with is Soldiers of the Cross. Tell us about Soldiers of the Cross.
Well, that is a humongous need. Humongous need program. We've gone over the budget every year, and it continues. Fortunately, we have what we call the Mercy Funds. The old LCMS World Relief and Human Care was merged into what we call Mercy Operations, The Reverend John Folley is the associate director of that department. And so we do have some funds, mercy funds, that sometimes we need to supplement the Soldiers of the Cross, because the need far exceeds, you know, the available funds. So we're always short with Soldiers of the Cross funds. And that's a great need, because almost for the same reason. Again, we got small parishes. Many of our, and even in our just normal or typical, I should say, typical English-speaking congregations are small, and sometimes are not able, we'll get into a financial buy-in, especially coming out of this recession. Some of the congregations were up against not being able to pay, for example, for the workers' Concordia health plan. And if there's, and in many cases there are, medical issues in the family, and a worker cannot be without health coverage. And so we come alongside that worker and working with that worker's district president, and we cover the health premium. We pay directly to Concordia Plan Services and catch them up until there's some other options in place. It's not a long term continual like veterans. Mm-hmm. It's short term, 3 months, you know, 6 months outside of help until they find other options. Not only for health coverage, but also sometimes a worker will call. I had a worker's wife call, and basically she said, "We have no food." Luckily, I was in contact with the district president, and he was going to go to the church for a meeting. I said, "Look, I've got a $1,000 check approved. Can you take a check from the district, and then when you get our funds, you can cover it and take it to the worker?" So it was like, you know, within 8 hours or so, we were able to get funds in their hands, because as this poor woman said, worker's wife, "We have no food." And that can sometimes happen in the life of our church workers, unfortunately.
Why?
But thanks that we're there to help.
Right. Why? There are many people who in this country who fall upon hard times. They may have difficulty paying all the bills, or as you pointed out here, putting food on the table. Why is it important for, especially for pastors or church workers, why is it important for this type of support for them? What does this allow then, when we can provide this kind of support to them during those temporary times of need?
Well, that is a very, very critical question, and I'm glad you asked it, because what it does, when we provide help to the worker in times of financial stress or crisis, it frees the worker to do his work of proclaiming the gospel. So if we're not there with help, then, you know, the gospel is being muffled or shut out. So and we're in the Lord's business of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. And we want our workers to be free of that financial stress so they can do the work that they have been called to do. So it's very, very critical.
Sure. It's a noble task, the scriptures say, to be a shepherd, a pastor who delivers God's good gifts in word and sacrament. And when they're burdened by, when they're distracted by these things, in some sense, these earthly things, they know, not having their needs, their earthly needs provided for, whether it be shelter or you know, health care or food, those things, whether it be for them or for their whole family, by providing for those needs, then they're not distracted by those types of things and can continue on in the good work that they've been given to do, and that is proclaiming the good news.
Exactly, and that's why the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his hire, because then the laborer is free to do what he is called to do, and in the case of our church workers, it's to share the gospel with all people. Hmm. But if the wife says, "We have no food," well, he's got another problem, and the gospel gets referred to a later day, and it may be that the gospel is needed on that day. that the worker is concerned about food. So, no, it's very, very important that we free up our workers from that financial stress that will impede their ministry.
And again, how can listeners find out more about Soldiers of the Cross and how they can support this work?
Again, we have a website also for the Soldiers of the Cross. There's even an application in there if people want to look at the kind of questions that we ask of our worker. You know, we're very, very very financially astute in the sense that, you know, we want the worker has to, you know, share information about his finances, and so it's not just that, you know, we give the money, you know, we need, but and we also work with the district president, and that's important to know. And I should also say that the district presidents also participate. You know, our goal is to do a match. If a worker needs say $2,000 to cover a month or of Concordia plan services, or to provide food, or to pay the rent or the mortgage, then we try to work out something like the president will put $1,000 down, and we send the money to the district to provide. So in a real sense, we're helping the district president help his worker. Mm-hmm. I always like to say that the real client that I have here is the district president, because it's the district president who cares for his workers. The congregations and the pastors of the respective district. I like to tell district presidents, this is your district flock, and you're doing a good job in shepherding your district flock. And so we actually send the funds to the district, except in the case of Concordia Plan Services, if it's a health premium, it's easier for us to send it directly to the Concordia Plan Services right there in the building.
Sure.
And if the district president is matching it or doing part of it, well, I just tell him send it directly to Concordia Plan Services, care of Julie Bruning, who is the one who manages that here in the department.
Well, very good. You can find out more on lcms.org. You can find out information about Veterans of the Cross and Soldiers of the Cross. We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Carlos Hernandez. He's the Director of Church and Community Engagement in the LCMS Office of National Mission.
What is a sacramental entrepreneur? Are Christians called to start new movements and love the culture? Live Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Chris Rosebro about a church planting organization called 5-2 and its annual Wiki Conference. We'll also have Dr. Angus Manouge answer the question, are factual and religious beliefs the same?
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Sing for Joy is a radio program that recognizes this fact of life. There are times when words alone are not enough. We need human touch. We need art. We need music. Music for the soul. Hear it on the next program.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Reverend Dr. Carlos Hernandez, Director of Church and Community Engagement in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Dr. Hernandez, you're kind of involved in a lot of things. You wear a lot of different hats. I was going to say collars, but it's probably a lot of different hats. So we've talked about Veterans of the Cross, Soldiers of the Cross. Another program that you're involved in, Gospel Seeds. What is Gospel Seeds?
Gospel Seeds, so actually the full name is Planting Gospel Seeds While Serving Human Needs. And it's actually, you know, in our mission, Witness Mercy Life Together, you know, I see it as sort of a sequence. You know, eventually, you know, when we witness the gospel of Jesus Christ, we draw people into the body of Christ, which is a life together, right? But I like it to be kind of a sequence where we say, mercy, witness, life together. In other words, if we go out into our communities, right outside our congregations, wherever the congregation is located geographically, if we go out into our communities and begin to engage people in conversation and trying to find out what some of the mercy needs might be, then they give you an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, we go out and we train members and their staff, the pastor and any other staff people. We train them. We try to develop as many teams as possible. Ordinarily, we have anywhere from 6 to 10 teams. We go out on a Saturday morning and we knock on doors. Now that's kind of scary for some people, you know, but we don't initiate a spiritual conversation. People are kind of saturated with that. You know, we don't try to convert them. Actually, we're not there to tell them anything. We're there to hear what they have to say. We'll say, what in your opinion are some of the needs of this community, some of the human care needs of this community, your neighborhood? Can you tell us more? We're down the block, and we're trying to develop ministries that serve the community, and wonder if you would be so kind as to share your opinion. And people are kind of surprised by that. You know, we were from the church, but we didn't hit them over the head with our religion or anything like that. And we were asking them, how can we help the community? And that sort of takes them off beat a little bit, but they're thankful that we care for the community and not just for their body as well as for their souls. And so it starts a conversation, and that's important, the conversation that we initiate with people in the community.
So if a congregation is, I don't know how to describe it, if they feel like they're not engaging their community, if they feel like they really don't know their neighbors, or they haven't engaged their neighbors, their community, they would be potentially a good candidate. This would be a good place to consider doing Gospel Seeds.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, I've been doing this now for 15 years. I started out in the office, the LCMS World Relief and Human Care, the former LCMS World Relief and Human Care. And I actually was called to do just that, to help congregations and districts develop human care ministries or mercy ministries in their neighborhoods and communities. And then it kind of began to evolve. I mean, it was just both basically mercy work, what we might call, you know, human care ministries, or we used to also call it social ministries. We didn't bother anything about the gospel or evangelism. That was not our job. We were a different department. But when we got out there, we found out that people also were curious about who we were. You know, who are these people that care about the body and about the community? And so they would say, well, what church are you from? Or tell us more about your church. And so it became planting gospel seeds and while serving human needs. So yeah, I mean, it's not very hard. I think it would be difficult if a congregation, typical LCMS congregation, were to be told, okay, go out, knock on doors, tell people about Jesus, and people are saturated with that. They've had too much of that, too many other denominations knocking on their doors, trying to convert them to their faith, and not respecting whatever they may be currently engaged in, you know, spiritually. So it's just getting out of the building and not into the community, and it's not that difficult.
And learning about your community, learning about your neighbors, things that you might not know about your neighbors and the needs. Why do these things go hand in hand? Human needs and gospel seeds. Why do these two go hand in hand?
Well, they go hand in hand because, you know, this is what we see in Scripture. I mean, it's our biblical mandate. I mean, Jesus explained the second coming, that, you know, the sheep and the goats, you know, a little parable where he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. So that's what he mandated us to do, to also care for the body as well as for the soul. Jesus was a healer. He fed the 5,000. He was always caring for both the body and the soul. And then we see the New Testament. We see the early church. And in Acts 6, for example, where the early Christians had a daily distribution of food for the widows. So all over the New Testament, and in the book of Acts especially, we see the concern for the body and for the soul. And this is why we have the witness, the mercy, and the life together. So it's part of what we are now in terms of emphasis in our church body.
If members of a congregation, maybe even congregational leaders or pastors are listening or other church workers listening and thinking that planting gospel seeds while meeting human needs might be something that they want to consider in their congregation, how could they find out more? How could they go about requesting that type of help in their congregation?
Okay, just to kind of give an idea, we do have a website, Gospel Seeds, in the lcms.org. And there are two documents that you can download. The one is called the residential interviews, which I've been talking about. You know, how do we conduct the residential interviews and how do we train lay folks and staff, church staff, to conduct residential interviews, to knock on doors, to engage in a conversation with people, and to develop that relationship. I think almost all of the so-called evangelism or outreach experts, and they have different opinions about how to reach people, but the one thing they all agree on is that you have to develop a relationship with folks before you can share the gospel. They themselves will ask you, tell us about what you believe. And so the conversation with folks around mercy helps us to develop that relationship. And we teach the people we train how to maintain that conversation, how to extend that conversation, so they have the opportunity to share the relationship. So there is this essay in the website. The other essay is on agency interviews. Part of the training also includes interviewing other agencies in the community, the schools, other service agencies in the community. So we get a pretty good idea of what are the most critical unmet or underserved needs in the communities and neighborhoods around the congregation.
Very good. So they can find out more on the lcms.org website on Gospel Seeds.
Yeah, so that sort of gives them an idea, just to kind of whet their appetite. And
sure.
then they can contact me directly. I have some other resources I can send. The website is in the process of being expanded. We'll have some videos and we'll have some other pieces of training on the website on Gospel Seeds.
Very good. Very good.
It's a lot of interest right now in this particular initiative, which we're glad to see.
A great way to...
But I live in Sacramento, California. I'm deployed, so I have more time, not having to be, to a lot of meetings. So I don't go to a lot of administrative meetings. So I just do the work.
Well, very good. A great way for us to engage our communities and meet human needs and plant some gospel seeds. So that's a great way to go about it. We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Carlos Hernandez. He's the Director of Church and Community Engagement in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Dr. Hernandez, thanks for being our guest today on His Time.
You bet. Thank you.